Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Not fearing the darkness and understanding that there is a purpose for that too, and within that very space is also the cure.
Hi guys, welcome to Superchargers. I'm Daniel Thomas, and my guest today is author, speaker, and meditation advocate Alessandra Veronesi. She currently has two books out there, A New Banana and Desperado. We had an awesome chat about what it means to confront oneself, the benefits of meditation, and of course, a few little challenges to try in everyday life. Enjoy this one. It sounds like you got to this place where, in a way, perhaps forced or by choice, you really had to confront yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a challenging but really rewarding thing when that happens. And sometimes we're kind of forced into it, or circumstances bring it about. It can happen in any of myriad of ways. But in your case, it was the pandemic and lockdown. Is that what triggered that space for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say paradoxically, it can be both. So, you know, on the one hand, you have that sort of extended release journey where if you're not aware that you're receiving signs, you really internalize it as life struggle. And then you normalize this life struggle. And so you continuously miss the signs where, you know, in a gentler way, life might be nudging you for a change that would be better for your higher growth. And so if you miss enough, if you miss enough performances from the universe, you get like a, you know, opening night once more. And mine was COVID. And it was absolutely, I couldn't miss that moment in terms of waking up. And I'm sure I know a lot of people have had their own awakenings during COVID, which was a silver lining to this event. And certainly I was no exception. And in my case, I had a really wide gap between who I knew I could be, even though I didn't have a definition for it, and what I was doing, as much as externally I was trying to put together some sort of image of what I hoped would eventually bring me to a state where I could finally feel good about myself. And when transportation was locked down, we couldn't leave our houses. I was in Italy, so it was particularly strict. I was forced to confront myself in every single way. Living alone with two lovely little dogs at the time was a blessing to have them, but I was effectively alone. And having pursued a traditional career, which was mostly in sales and marketing, a lot of my working time, which essentially was most of my waking hours, were spent traveling, meeting people, demonstrating my worth through KPIs and performance. So when all that came to a stop, as much as we love to hate our jobs, there was really nothing I could hold on to in terms of who I was, and I couldn't just take a flight over somewhere else and visit a friend. I couldn't go out for aperitivo. I couldn't do anything. So basically it was a moment that I'll remember forever, because it was a huge crisis that came to a full maturing on, I think it was March 20th, where it was really, really rough. Let's put it that way. And I received a message from a friend about a meditation that she was, these meditations she was following every day. And it was really good timing, because I think that particular day I really pushed the limits in terms of what I believed sanity could go to. And I called the police at that point. I thought I was going crazy. I actually contemplated doing something to myself, which I can now empathize with, and people that I meet. And it was pretty rough. So out of nowhere, I received this message, and I thought to myself, what do I have to lose? I've heard, you know, I never was curious about meditation because I was so intimidated by the process of getting into it, that it would take a long time to work and you're always looking for a quick fix. But it was exactly what I needed to start the process of understanding what it meant to connect to myself. And within a few days, I had a very incredible awakening that happened through my body. So I think I was really ripe for it, like really thirsty for it. And it's not a frequent occurrence from there on out, but it was what I needed at the time to really be flooded with all this light and inner connection, which made me feel in that moment that, oh my goodness, I've wasted so much money on therapy. Like, this is the feeling that I've been looking for all my life. I mean, it was truly planted there for me to begin on the process of unraveling all of those layers that, in good faith, I had placed upon myself over and over and over, thinking that I was doing the right thing for who I was, but kind of missing the main point, which is, you know, do everything first from within and then express that out, rather than frivolously grabbing the pieces around you and trying to construct a puzzle out of other people's expectations, even well-intentioned ones.
It sounds like a quite an intense and almost accelerated process of stripping these layers away. Like you say, you were like ripe for it, you were ready for it. It sounds like it was quite an intense, wasn't a sort of, was it a slow?
It was intense.
It was intense.
But it was beautiful. So the first couple of days I did the meditations and I thought to myself, okay, well, I don't hate it. So, okay, that's good. I can do this. And I think it was third or fourth day, I really just, something really just happened. It was beyond my own capacity to do so, though I did invite it by entering into that space. And, you know, people call this spiritual awakening, whatever you want to call it. It's just a shift in the quantum, really, when you're just taking a step into a place that you've never been before, where new solutions exist that you had never known you could tap into. And, you know, for the first couple of months, it was beautiful. I mean, now I'm used to intensity because it's part of the journey. But at least it's authentic intensity, and there's always a purpose for it. At the time, it was what I needed. It was just a divine blessing. It was just pure white light. It was this blanket of protection and connection that was the founding block to everything I did from there on out. So I continued my working and my corporate experience for a couple of years from there on out. But what happened was that I started writing, which is my personal way of, you know, experiencing change. I like to write through whatever is happening to me. And my writing was becoming kind of guidance towards myself, like kind of like an inner counselor was coming out as I was continuously meditating. New insights were coming to me about how to view things from this perspective. And eventually that became the framework for the book that I wrote. Once I started sharing these meditations with my friends, and I had a group of about 50 people that I was sending them to, I was recording the writing for them, and everybody was sort of lost, you know, in a state of, what time is it? Like, let's do a Zoom happy hour. Just a really, really early stages of COVID. So I would say anything anybody could send anybody was welcome. So that's how it started. And then little by little, after I had this really, I would say, like, lovely relationship that was starting to build within myself, towards myself, new people started coming in, especially as, you know, the country opened up, and then new synchronicities and people that helped me build the path that I'm on today, came through, as well as sharper lessons and, difficult teachers. And, but as you move forward, you also understand the greater purpose behind these things that happen. And you also understand, that a lesson is worth everything, just as much as you might want to get to a certain place. And so it was a juggle of, you know, my impatience as a human being of wanting to go somewhere, and then also that wisdom of recognizing how important it is to do things with ease and to not force when something should happen, and to move forward in that direction. So yeah, it's been a journey ever since. I guess we're coming up on 4 years. So
cool. When those when you were writing and those things were coming to you and coming through the writing, how did you find it tricky or challenging to trust in those things?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I still have the notebook. I just had this empty notebook, and I would sit under my window and the pen would write for me.
Mm.
I mean, it was really just like, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And it's like this, and it's like this, and this is how it is. And it's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it was like that for the whole thing. I mean, it just, I wrote the whole notebook through. My book is written on paper, essentially.
That's amazing. So there was no sense of like logic or doubt that would kick in and sort of question what
because there was no pressure. I was writing for myself. Mm. It was my own internal process of making sense of this newfound perspective and beauty in the world, in a way that, I mean, looking back, I would love to be in that state again, because I was just rose-colored lenses. But it was just, I had been for so many years, just on the other side of things, that in contrast, it just was so amazing, you know, and life is meant to be amazing as well.
Well, it's very cool that you allowed those like floodgates to open and just allowed it to come through you.
It was inevitable. I mean, it was actually inevitable in a way as well. That, you know, I love writing, and I've always wanted to write books, and I have probably 10, 15 different other things started and stopped. And this was not meant to be that. This was meant to be just a follow-up to my meditations, just journaling really. But each time I would journal, it would have a topic, and it would have more insights to look through. And so it was a very guided, looking back, experience, though I didn't see it as that at the time. It just felt cathartic.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like it. It's interesting you mentioned therapy, like not to discredit therapy, but you know, I went through it as well. Yeah. And just my thing with therapy was it was objectively so helpful, but it was a lot of intellectualizing, you know, mm-hmm. which was important because the therapist could see things objectively and point things out. But by the end, it was like the biggest shifts I started to make were through physicality and through, yeah, exactly the same, meditation and things like that. They were the thing, you know, getting in my body, they were the things that started to bring about bigger shifts, rather than just trying to intellectualize everything all the time. Mm-hmm. It's so important to talk you know, it's just so important to start verbalizing. But I got to a point where I was like, I needed, and it sounds similar with you in terms of like stepping out of the noise of everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's that, what's that expression? I'm going to paraphrase it totally, but it's something like, the difference between medicine and poison is in the amount. So I think there is a place, and I have amazing friends who are therapists and they do a wonderful job. And many people are just not open to receiving that, so that type of solution for a very long time. And so they relate with their minds. And for a very long time, I couldn't possibly see how I could receive any other type of help. And it was like a Band-Aid, and it did get me through certain periods of time. But, you know, in order to feel, when you're out of the water, you have to go underwater. In order to go underwater, you feel being out of the water. So I think when one can then weave these tools, some of them being more mind-based, which the mind is beautiful if we learn how to see that, as well as a somatic experience with the body and some type of a, you know, spiritual awakening, then you really have it all going for you. So
So it's interesting, you'd never actually experimented with meditation before or when you were younger. Had you ever dabbled it in any way? And how important were mentors through the process?
So I wouldn't say I never tried it, but I don't think I seriously tried it. I think I actually, here's a funny thing. As a joke, right before COVID started, I was looking up meditations on YouTube, and I was so cynical. I thought they were just kind of ridiculous. I guess I was also being guided to listen to ones that maybe weren't so good. I don't know. I didn't have any background. So actually, Holy Shiver, which is my company, as well as, you know, my website and my Instagram, it was a joke. Because a friend of mine said, well, why don't you start making ironic meditations? And so I did a couple for fun. I still have them for fun, but I don't share them because they're really, really cynical. And then after a certain point, and then I kind of let that go. And then COVID happened. And then I wrote back to my friend and I said, hey, you know, I think meditation's really working for me. I don't feel like disrespecting the industry anymore. But I really like the name and I think it still applies. So I'm going to keep it up. And but mentors, yeah, they were important. They were important, especially the mentors that guided me to not listening to other. I mean, so there's like, learn the rules like a professional so you can break them like an artist. So there's a phase where you are craving nutrition from outside and you're looking for, you know, maybe some confirmations or some validations, but effectively the meditations that I've now started putting together are really just like a mix of my own. So I think mentors, it depends what you're looking for, but I had an incredible coach who came into my life about a year after I was on this journey, and she works with energy. And so she just taught me her, you know, she gave me all of these tools that, you know, within a realm that I was really not familiar with, that that added onto other ways of viewing insights that were coming through into the world. And I would say in my particular case, plant-based medicine was a mentor. Television of the Jungle. And so that was a really important part of my development and connection to self as I became stronger in being able to manage already like a firm identity within myself. Then bringing in plant medicine was not derailing, it was enforcing. It was like an education on top of what I was already doing. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many different people came in and I was so blessed to meet them, and all forms. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess mentors come in so many different areas of life, not just it's cool to refer to other things as mentors though, like the plant-based medicine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily have to be it's what's influencing you. Do you Do you feel that meditation's kind of like a muscle, like you have to consistently work it?
I would say so. Full disclosure, human compassion towards all, including myself. I have had phases where now that I'm bridging the gap between material world and the spiritual realm, you know, there have been moments where I've fallen into my patterns of focusing on work and getting things done, and meditation has taken a backseat. And, you know, there's that little voice inside of me that says, well, I can do it. I mean, look, I've already gone this far. Like, I don't need to meditate now. And so I would say, absolutely, I've been returning back into a daily practice. And it's always needed. It's like going to the gym, right? Like, maybe you have muscle memory, like you can stop going to the gym for a year and probably it won't change truly what your body looks like, but over time it will, you'll need it again. Or you'll benefit from it. Actually, it's absolutely.
It's amazing. It's amazing how many minutes there are in the day. And a lot of what this show has been about is like just dedicating a tiny part of that to some kind of awareness. Like awareness has been the consistent thing, bringing an awareness to something. You know, I was trying a lot of little challenges myself, and it always came back to awareness. Mm-hmm. As classic, just how many seconds and minutes there are in the day, yet we still find it so hard to devote even a few of those minutes to something that has clearly had a profound effect on you, changed your entire being. And sometimes it's just so hard for us to like rein that tiny piece of time in.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're pushing and pushing and pushing, and maybe you're sick and you're like, no, I can just do this. I can just do this. I can. And then it's like, the moment that you need it most is the moment you reject it the most, I would say. And I'm sure you've heard the expression of, you know, you should meditate 30 minutes every day. And if you don't have time, you should meditate for 60. And it really rings true, because it's so hard to fathom when you're in that state of maybe dysregulation or, you know, busyness and going and going and going. And then finally it propels your efficiency, to be able to take a little break, even if it's 10 minutes, even if it's 15 minutes, even if it's three breaths. I mean, whatever you can do, it's important to have the knowledge that within yourself is the ability to get yourself through anything, including any micro difficulty that could be occurring in your day, all the way spanning out to macro choices about your life direction. And Google can only take you so far. Other people are certainly useful as reflections, if you can get information neutrally from them. But the best way to marry all that together is to have a relationship with yourself. There's no wrong way to reach a means end, but you have to find the path yourself.
I love the concept of like, just get yourself right and then everything else will fall into place, you know, rather than, and I don't want to drop too many sort of cliches, but like, just rather than seeking external validations or solutions, it's all about like exactly what you're saying, like getting everything relative within yourself. You know, finding one thing feeds another for the best of your well-being, getting all that like in a really good place. And then, as you said earlier, watching the opportunities that come, watching the people that present, watching the stuff that starts to happen, because all of that stuff is like really in tune or getting in tune. And, you know, I also had to learn the hard way, like just about actually doing less and achieving more by doing less. Like for so many years, I was just on the same kind of wheel, it sounds like you were on at times, and just, I actually had to like consciously fight to strip things down. And I think you mentioned too, like you have this sense of, I need to be doing, but actually like taking it, stripping it down in a notch has helped so much more
Exactly. I mean, I think you've described the condition of all of us or many, many people out there. And it's, you know, when you find stillness, you give a chance to all the other parts that are constantly moving, right? Like everything vibrates. One of the hermetic, everything is moving constantly, even if we perceive things to be static. And if you don't give a little bit of room and a little bit of space in a good energy for things to find their place around you, then you're not giving a chance for the universe to respond with solutions that you could potentially then weave into place. So, and it is very, very difficult. I mean, it's difficult when I embarked on the journey of working for myself. It was also difficult to wrap the, what's the word I'm looking for? Grapple with the guilt. Is that a word?
Grapple.
Thank you. Like, why does it sound so weird? To grapple with the guilt of, like, you know, and recognizing when it's just not the day. Today is not a day. And in the past, you would push through it, and then maybe you would have gone to a happy hour to get rid of that weird bad day you had. And now it's like, okay, maybe today is just a day that I take myself out to a movie, or I take a long nap, or I call a friend, or whatever you might need, so that you can come back the next day refreshed and with a positive energy and kind of like this more clear channel of efficiency that that sometimes greatly responds to you feeling good and calm. So
that's the thing, you said it earlier too, there can be an impatience, you know, I just want this all to happen, but resistance seems to create resistance. And you know, you can, it's sort of that getting out of your own way. It just proves itself over and over again, and not even in like a kind of airy fairy way, in a very practical, just as you said, the stillness allows for those things to come, as opposed to being like blocked.
Absolutely. And things to come also include internal things to come, right? Internal insights and realizations that you wouldn't have otherwise had if you were keeping your mind busy all the time. And when, I guess, something that I've recently been recognizing is when you can identify something, when you can, well, actually, it's also a quote, I think, by Jung or something, when you can find the solution, when you can find the solution or the problem, then you already find the solution. But, and if you give something a name, you immediately take away its power. So if you know, you know, if you're struggling with a certain situation and you can, from a place of stillness, understand what that core issue is or where it began and how that's been showing up for you in a variety of scenarios outside of even the context that you find yourself in today, well, you've done 50% of the work, and then the rest of it is all about kind of neutralizing it. And by neutralizing it, you look at it from this perspective of awareness, like what you were saying before, and give it a chance to be, and then try to correct it just by changing any set type of way that you look at it. In a more empowered sense, you can do a lot of things by going back into the past. And this is kind of NLP things, but you can go back into the past, you can reframe the situation, you can alter your brain's recollection of that to put you in a position of, you know, of power for the issue that you're dealing with now. And you know, time stops at the speed of light, so in some dimensions time doesn't even exist, so you could have corrected something in another infinite timeline that is finally going to benefit you now. And doing some of this work, I've noticed actually that all of a sudden, I don't know if you've experienced this as well, like when you do some internal work and you feel much clearer and energetically free, suddenly all these messages come through, like in your phone, right? Like things that were kind of not moving forward for a long time, and suddenly you get the email that you needed or someone writes you back, and it's like that's how you know that you've kind of freed up the field and you're back in your own energy and you're back on track.
It's crazy. It's uncanny. The confirmation is uncanny. Like it just proves itself over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then you're sort of surprised, but really it just continually proves itself.
I love the endless surprises. I'm never tired of them. I'm like, what? That too? That's crazy.
They're also how important is the intuitive and instinctive voice for you in terms of like decision making?
Oh, it's absolutely key. It's absolutely key. And that's certainly a muscle to fine tune over time. And I find that it gets fine tuned the more you're able to just be trust in your choices, yes and no, and really stick with the no and keep that cleared out.
I've often said the no's are as important, if not more important, than the yeses, because the no's can be so much harder. But again, it's like, how often do you take that call and then you get off and you have that sort of gut feeling that you perhaps should have decided differently? Again, it just continues to reveal itself. But yeah, I agree with you. It's working that like a muscle. Is something that you really to treat it like a muscle, because it's so tricky to like automatically tune into. So it takes work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an ongoing process. But it makes sense too, because the faster you are at deciding, the faster your life moves and the faster you can, you know, again, obviously letting the pieces fall and being calm about it. But at a point of decision making, if you're clear on whether it's a yes or a no for you, and if you are willing to trust when it is a no, and it's more about those ambiguous situations that seem good, you know, that kind of require something from you, right? You're like, well, this would be exactly what I was looking for, but something feels off. Why do I feel just not motivated when I'm getting a call from this person? Why does it make me feel heavy or constricted? And at the same time, it's something that I want to do. And so maybe I should just bear it, grin and bear it, and, you know, wait for the end result. But when things start off in that kind of an energy, you can wait to prove the lesson later. That's cool. I've certainly had my fair share of those and still working through it. But the more you can listen to that no initially, and the instinct within you, the more you can really, really bring your life forward in a clear way. And also, I forget, I think it was something like, I thought it was beautiful. I don't know if we don't have any way to prove this, but I thought it was a beautiful way to put it. It's just when you are able to give boundaries or say no to other people, it's the quickest way to show yourself how much you love yourself. I mean, I've said no to situations where I was offered a lot of money and, or I had an opportunity to meet certain celebrities and, somehow it was like, no, it's like, okay, fine, I will not go then. And then, you know, you have to sort of trust.
It's classic when that cherry is dangled in whatever form that may be, like money or whatever. And that's when that intensifies. Like if the gut's saying no, but you get this thing's being the big bright shiny thing is being dangled. Makes it, but it's also cool just to like take some time, you know. Often we're like rushed into answers and stuff. It's actually fine to say, hey, you know, I need some time on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I recently had a situation like that where I was
in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I received an agreement, seemed okay, but we are in a planetary mishmash of sorts, leaving retrograde today, but it's been an intense time in April 2024, I have to say.
I was reading about that, sorry, the planetary stuff. I don't follow that too much, but I was reading about some planetary shifts going on.
A lot's been happening between the two eclipses and... the Mercury retrograde, which just invites us to not sign contracts or make definitive choices, but rather analyze internally and, you know, see how we want to move things forward. So besides all of that happening and my knowledge of it, I also felt within that it was important to give the situation some time to breathe and inform myself further. And, everything seems great, you know, everything seemed great, but this voice was saying, just give it a moment. And then of course the other person who doesn't follow these things was saying, we have to push. And I was like, I have to stop. This is, I get it. I get that that's what it feels like needs to be done, but it doesn't have to be this way. Sometimes there's a lot that can be learned by taking time to look at all the pieces and evaluate and reconstruct, you know, but with focus and attention within.
People can be a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Awesome, well, but challenging.
Gotta love them. Gotta love us.
Yeah. How influential in terms of your journey and like in recent terms, how influential has music been for you?
Ooh, I love that question. Absolutely key. It's actually a great indicator. Two signs in my life that I know that I might not be doing so well. One, if I stop flossing, and two, if I stop listening to music. Possibly not in that order, because I'm not a big flosser. Wait. But if I'm really happy, then I floss. Like, because I remember.
That's interesting, because that's a really tiny thing, right? That could seem as a very tiny, but it's actually the core of it is like self-care, right? It's like taking time. It's interesting you say that, because if that tiny little thing goes out the window, it's a bigger reflection of what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
and then the music,
of course. I used to dance. I used to do a lot of dancing. And so for me, music is really like an invitation to just play and get into the music and dance around. And so if I don't even have the desire to, I mean, every day I listen to a bit of music. I listened to some music before we chatted today, just to organize the house and get started, get into the groove. And it's such a key, you know, to setting the tone. And especially when the music, you know, has good vibrations or, you know, brings you to a great place. It's so important. Yeah.
It's amazing how a song can immediately take you somewhere, you know, whether it be a past experience or just takes you there or some. Yeah, it's cool. That's why I just ask about it, because I think it's just such a powerful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I have music is so, thank goodness it exists. It's just, it really brings you to celebrate the moment. And so whether you're in your own bathroom or walking down the street or generally just hanging out, you're instantly bringing in all of these celebratory, this little celebration in your house. And, and it is a sign if, you know, whenever I get tired, you know, when you start thinking like, oh, I don't feel like music right now, bleh, like you're like, okay, well, something's up with me. Like I could really look into this right now. And then suddenly it becomes attractive again. And then you're like, okay, I'm good. Life is good.
Is dancing something that you have come back to, or it was a phase of life?
Yeah.
And
yeah. I was a ballerina growing up. And there comes a point in ballet where you either choose to do it really competitively, or it's just not possible to, I mean, for me, it was a choice. I chose not to do it. And then it came back, a variety of moments. So throughout my life, even before I had this shift in my awareness, I was always loving dancing. It was something I went to a lot. I remember for my MBA, I was doing an MBA and the assignment was find an activity and do it for 4 hours and write about it. And I just danced for 4 hours in my apartment. Literally, that was my activity. People like went to an organization and like interviewed the owner. Like my whole paper for my, you know, master's in business administration was based on 4 hours of dancing.
Yeah, but that's huge. Like there's so much in, that's massive. I think it's probably easier to go and like do something more kind of formal or whatever, but there's so many lessons and so much stuff that I'm sure came out of that.
It was incredible. And I remember that. And then of course, when you're spending time also in ceremony. So when you're doing plant-based ceremony, music is so important to keep you grounded and keep you in a positive frequency, and people dancing and singing together, and just having that chance to fully express the beauty of life with other people, and let go of things that are like kind of stagnant and like a little bit caught up in your body. So me, there's no wrong way to do it.
Yeah, for me, drumming actually basically saved my life.
Wow. I believe you. That is difficult too. It is difficult to do it.
Yeah, and the act of the primal aspect of it, like hitting drums, has just kind of helped me no end. That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, the drums have just been pivotal to me.
And the vibration that it gives you back. So it's a constant feedback of vibrations.
Yeah, and experiencing that, as you say, with other people, and when it's like a combined force, it's pretty cool.
I hear you.
Yeah, but getting into the book, I love the name. You've got it behind there. A New Banana.
A New Banana, yeah.
Do you want to hold it up there or?
Yeah, sure.
If that's possible. I don't want to.
Let me just head back here. I really tried to. I actually just also launched Desperado. So not just a few months ago, which is a little book to support you through harder times. But they go separately. So this is A New Banana. This is really just how to unpeel your layers. And it goes through all kinds of relationships that you have. So there's a long exploration of relationship with the self. And then it goes into relationships with others and friendships and strangers and the universe and then romantic. So I'm currently dating, and for me, the impact that this had on myself really impacted how I approached dating and how I viewed other people in my process. And so this is sort of like a snapshot into where I was at when this whole process began, and what some of the initial realizations were. So this is a good like starter, I would say, if anybody's experiencing like intense anxiety or, you know, depression. And that's also where I was at deep down. But Desperado is recent, and it's just 15 states of desperation. Not to be said. life, you know, life gives us ups and downs, and we are in a totality of light and darkness right now. And, you know, each chapter is just a little chapter about, you know, feeling frustrated or overwhelmed, or and how to guide yourself out of that. And then there are 15 meditations that are under 10 minutes, that usually they're 5 to 7 minutes, and they don't require lying down. So you can do it at the office, and just to like transform the energy a little bit, and kind of help whoever needs it to learn that they have it inside of them to get through it. And so I usually try to give myself, I can usually transform like a difficult moment by the next day. If it lasts more than 2 or 3 days, then it's important to call a friend. But these are the tools and strategies that, you know, have helped me, and the mindset as well. There's obviously the mind component, because it's written. So
I love that it's like the little sister, the kind of companion.
Yeah.
It's cool. The colors.
I needed them to match.
No, well, all credit to you for like knocking those out. I mean, I know you said it came, you allowed it to like come to you, and it was quite a free flowing like writing process, but it's no small feat to like get these things over the line.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. It feels like I was just doing my job, but this time it was the job I wanted to do.
Which is such an awesome and different experience when you're just trying to put your heart into something that's not fully there, you know, for other reasons. It just doesn't really end well.
Exhausting.
Consistently. It's exhausting. It's draining. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really exhausting. Yeah. So
it's a tradition on the show to have guests offer some kind of challenge to the listeners. It can be absolutely anything. Like, it can just be based on what we've been discussing, like could be about music or anything, or it could be very specific to like to your field. Perhaps for somebody who hasn't delved into meditation at all and they're kind of curious, or is there anything that springs to mind?
Okay. Well, like a challenge as in, I would challenge people to try meditating. That would be a general overarching recommendation, I would say, in general. And for that, you know, I have like 18 free meditations on my website, so they're welcome to go explore that.
There's also, I really like this dance in a room for 4 hours.
I would say 4 hours is a lot. 4 hours is like, it was intense.
It 4 minutes.
It was like manic. Like, I would say by the end of that, I was like, what am I doing?
I did have a dance choreographer on the show, and he did suggest that to like just dance by yourself, like go crazy for, you know, once a day. So I love that you did that as a project. But So for someone starting meditation, these sound like really good, like tangible exercises they could do. These ones you have, especially if they don't need, you know, you don't need to be lying down, and you know, if they kind of can be done on the go.
Yeah, and they're designed really like if you're commuting, even you can do them on a train or on a subway. There's a lot of guidance throughout, so you're not left to just kind of breathe and by yourself. So it can feel encouraging and entertaining while listening. So it's sort of like a soft, like a warm hug from a friend is what someone told me, what they feel like. But yeah, I mean, I would certainly encourage an afternoon of dancing, without any expectation, really, like no expectation at all. And if anybody hasn't tried breath work, I feel that is, I didn't mention it earlier, but that was also part of my meditation journey. So breath work is a little bit different than meditation, because it requires us to engage the body and, you know, really, really alter the way we breathe. But it can really lead you, us, one, to these beautiful altered states, where from there, an instant feeling of uplift and wholeness within and relaxation. So sometimes it really is about, again, like the dancing, it's like a somatic release. We really charge our bodies with so much mental stuff and technology, and it's the purest form of filtration that we have for our systems. So trying breath work from a variety of tools. I mean, the one I was following, his name is The Breath Guy. He wrote a book called Breath, and he has an app, I think it's called Flourish. I would say those are really good if one is pregnant to be mindful of that. I incorporate some breath work in the ones I offer. So just to be done with caution, if someone is pregnant, not to hold the breath or do some of those things, but there's always a warning. So I would encourage that. And yeah, something really useful, actually, here's an exercise that people can do. So I would say to take 5 pieces of paper and number them 1 through 5, logically, appropriately, and starting from the first block, get really grounded and kind of get a feeling for where you're at today, and see if any insight comes through in terms of connect with your heart, connect with anything that you might relate to that might be, you know, your higher self, and really try to get an indication of a message that could be useful to you right now to bring you forward. And when you feel like you've locked that in, move to the second step and imagine being a year from now. And again, connect with, see what your life would be like if you were to have followed that advice and gone through and allow yourself to really indulge in what your dream might be. And from there, get that feeling in and move to the third step. That's the third year. Imagine things maybe getting even better because they can. And again, surround yourself with all of these benevolent support systems that you have within your psyche and ask to receive another message and envision that lifestyle. Move to 4 years, do the same thing, and finally get to the fifth year and really embody how things have become. And so it can be very uncomfortable. I have done this exercise with people, and it can be very uncomfortable for people to even imagine where they would be in 1 year. And there, you know, okay, so there's a place to start. I can't get to year two. I don't know what it's going to look like. Mm. Cool. Very, very rich, fertile soil to work on. Figure that part out. If you get all the way to 5 years, like by the time you get to step 5, your vibration is completely different than when you were on the first step. And it's a very, very simple technique. But if done correctly and consciously and with awareness, it can really change things. I mean, I've done this with certain people before big meetings, and, you know, things go well after because you have this conviction that, you know, within yourself that you've made it, in whatever shape or form, with trust. And it doesn't have to fully become exactly how you envision it to be, because life never is that way. But at least, you know, you have the capacity to bring yourself back to yourself, which is the ultimate form of confident happiness. Knowing you can bring yourself back, not that life is going to be bad, because that can happen sometimes.
I like the staggering of it. You know, it's not just like, hey, where are you going to be in 10 years? It's like actually staged or staggered. So it's like if you're struggling at that first point, mm-hmm. try and kind of work around that before going on to the next, as opposed to, I just want to get from here to there. And that's all a bit like overwhelming. And yeah, so I love that it's kind of staged.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And it's important to try and feel like what it is that you need at these stages, and expanding into that identity that is already within you, that is just holding your hand and saying, come on, you can do it. If you can think it, you can be it. So why not? Everybody else has, people can make it. So why not you?
The term dream indulgence is a good one.
Why not? It can feel like an indulgence. I remember the first time I did a visualization with my coach, she asked me to write down my feelings after I had explained where I saw things to be in a certain moment in time. And I said, to be quite honest, I feel like this is too much to ask. And she was like, what are you talking about? You know, I have shivers. Like, I like what you're saying. And so then, great, that's also important information. Like, where is it inside of you that doesn't feel worthy of benefiting from these things? And that opens up, you know, layers and layers and layers to uncover and discover. So everything is important, whatever comes up.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool. Where can people find you in the book?
So easiest way is to go on my Instagram, which is holy_shiver. And then there's a link tree, which has all the links. So both books, landing pages for the books, where they can find them. A New Banana also is available in audiobook. So for those who like to listen, it's also there. And the meditations are also available. It's all in the link. So
cool. Now, Linktree is always good to just like have all the branches right there.
And some of my funky meditations are on YouTube. I haven't, that's my experimentation platform. Anything that just kind of like comes out of me randomly, I post it there. And so some of
that's
them
all,
are.
That's awesome. I'm going to check those out. That's cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time. Is there anything like you feel we haven't covered that you want to share? Perhaps if somebody's struggling, like if somebody's just struggling to like put one foot in front of the other.
Something that has been very present for me right now has been the importance of experiencing and witnessing darkness. And it is something that very often in, you know, coaching and wellness communities or spiritual communities, wherever you want to look at, sometimes is overlooked or diminished or, you know, not considered, you know, negative vibes and like, let's not bring the negative vibes. And, but it is a very important component for everyone's collective evolution, actually. Because if it's not, so it's a blessing when it comes up, if it is seen this way, it's just a matter of how we perceive it. Because when we are able to see it within ourselves, it's, again, it loses its power. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we really need to go through it. But dismissing that eventually becomes internalized and projected into the external. So if we stuff down darkness within ourselves and we start trying to see the world, you know, only positively and trying to only be happy, and but something within us is trying to move through us so that we can free up space to eventually choose light again. That's when really, really weird things can start damaging like progress. So it's embracing also darkness, particularly when times feel quite intense, which has been the case for many people in the past month or so. I would say not fearing the exploration of darkness in order to then let it go when the time feels right. Yeah.
There's a lot in that. You can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, like pushing it away, you know, could often manifest. It's not necessarily the healthiest way to, it's what you're saying is cool, because it's like acknowledge it and it might be it's stepping towards the discomfort, like lean into that discomfort and then allow for, because we're just transient beings, right? We're never in one kind of fixed state. All that stuff has to come through us in different ways. So yeah, what you're saying is awesome in that, like, try and yes, embrace is not, but experience it or allow it.
It's cool to be vulnerable. It's cool to be vulnerable. It's cool to be, it's in, you know, maybe that's not the right word, but it can be endearing, you know, to be at a new point in life and to admit to yourself that this is a brand new starting point and you know nothing again. I mean, I can't tell you how many times it goes back to that. It's just where I realize, like, wow, I really know nothing, but I know more than before, I'm a disciple of life. Like, what is going on? You know, great. I have more things to learn. And every day is a new fresh start. And every day is a chance to be a new person and to confront things differently than you would have otherwise done and to see them differently. And but yes, I mean, not fearing the darkness and understanding that there is a purpose for that too. And within that very space is also the cure.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.